Well, I'd like everybody to open your Bible up to second chapter of Luke this morning. Last Sunday, we endeavored to talk about Mary's perspective of the upcoming birth of the Son of God, and then Joseph's perspective. And this morning, as I thought about what we might have for today's service, I thought, well, maybe I shouldn't erase the word perspective off of the board. I'd like to for us to consider the shepherd's perspective of the event that we celebrate this time of year. So I'd like to begin in Luke, the second chapter, and I want to begin at the first verse, and we're going to read the account that Luke gave of the birth of Jesus. And we know that Luke got his information, many feel that Luke got his information maybe directly from Mary. Luke was not there at the time. Luke was not an apostle. He was not someone that was there firsthand with Jesus, but he was someone that got his information probably directly from eyewitnesses in his gospel. And so the most likely way for him to get this information is for him to be able to communicate with Jesus' mother, Mary. So Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was the governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." And depending on the actual logistics of where they started from and how they went, maybe, it appears that that might have been a distance of maybe 70 to 90 miles to go from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And another thing that might be noteworthy is Nazareth, I believe, would have been part of the kingdom of Israel. That's where there were predominantly Samaritans lived, okay? And Bethlehem would have been part of Judea, or those that were part of the tribe of Judah. All right? So that's just a little peripheral information. "So he went there to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger." And then it tells us that because there was no room for them in the inn, there was no place for them to come. There were people that others had come to Bethlehem to for the purpose of this tax that had been imposed on them. And this tax was something that I believe it was God's providence that caused this to be put in place at the appropriate time to fulfill the prophecy that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. And I don't want to get all tangled up in, you know, how prophecies came to be fulfilled and all of that this morning. I want to go on. And it says in verse 8, "And there were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the flock, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into the heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. So, what about the shepherds? What were their perspective? What kind of men were the shepherds? Bethlehem was a small village, and maybe a few hundred people. It wasn't a metro area at all. Wasn't even close to being what Jerusalem was. But it was just a small little village. And around Bethlehem was what we would term, maybe in the United States, open range grazing in the countryside. No fences. Animals went wherever food and water was. And the shepherds were those that followed around and tended to the sheep. Now, I'm not a sheep expert by any means, but I did look up a few things. There are sheep that are considered wild sheep, and they are more self-sufficient than our domestic sheep. They shed their wool sometime in the spring, early summer, whereas a domestic sheep, they don't. They just add more wool to it if they're not sheared. They're obviously more capable of taking care of themselves, or they would become extinct. But domestic sheep are probably one of the most fragile forms of livestock that a person could ever get involved in. You could do well with the things that you would do with a cattle or with chickens or something else. If you try to tend sheep like you take care of cattle, you'll be out of business in short order. It just doesn't work that way. So, one of the things I want us to consider here this morning is in the perspective of the shepherds. They were doing some of the same things that David had done as a young man. And they were out there with the sheep, just like David had been. Maybe they were in some of the very same area where David had been with sheep when he was a young man, when the angel came to them. And I've been thinking about the shepherd and the type of person they were. And I don't know, we've seen pictures that depicted Christ as the shepherd, and it seems that there's just tenderness. It doesn't really seem, it's not the same as maybe the image we would have in our mind of a cowboy. You know, there's nothing rough and calloused. There's a picture in our mind, I think, sometimes of a shepherd being someone with smooth hands and a soft countenance and someone that only knew how to speak loving, soft words. But I wonder, is that the kind of men that was out there on the hill? I want us to think about their environment and their responsibility. You know, if they didn't tend to the sheep, the livelihood of the family would be non-existent. If they didn't do a good job of keeping things away that would harm the sheep, if they didn't see that the sheep had appropriate water and grass and able to graze, and that they didn't keep the oversight of their health constantly on their mind, then their whole family would suffer. So they were, number one, I want us to realize that the shepherds were very responsible men. They weren't out there just putting one foot in front of another. They weren't just reckless, careless, carefree, without any sense of response. There was a lot weighing on them for them to take that job, to take that responsibility of overshadowing or overseeing the sheepfold, the flock. I believe to be a shepherd, there has to be a lot of gentleness and a lot of kindness. We had a young man come to help. One of my sons had some cows for a period of time there, and one of his friends and a co-worker came to help us. We were going to sort the cows, and I don't remember what we were doing that day, but I was up there, and they were not as gentle as my cows were, but so I was used to kind of getting in the pen with the cows, and he came with one of these, it wasn't just a prod, but it was a long handle, and on the end was a plastic thing that rattled, and it was kind of the plastic paddle. And he got in the pen with this thing, and he didn't just open the gate and kind of coax the cows in. He immediately began to holler like somebody that was on a trail drive and slapped the cows with this plastic rattle. And the cows went from a little bit restless to spooked in a short amount of time. And I saw him get almost lifted up and tossed over a fence, and we all got outside of the pen instead of inside of the pen with the cows, and they were so agitated and so worked up, and all it took was him coming in and beginning to, he spoke to them in an elevated voice, and he began to poke and prod and slap on them. Now, I want us to realize that to be a shepherd, you definitely don't want to treat sheep that way. You have to treat them with some kindness. You have to be gentle with them. They're easily excited. So that's one of the characteristics of a shepherd, is someone that is able to take an escalated situation and begin to bring some soothing and some calmness to the atmosphere, instead of just taking it from a little bit unsettled to everything is fixing to be into orbit. You know, there's a difference here. And the shepherd is one that brings peace to a place. So I believe that there's this gentleness and kindness is one of the characteristics. I believe he has to have some level of love and compassion towards the sheep, and considering that they are not as robust a creature as a cow, for instance, They're not like maybe some other animals that can handle escalated treatment as far as being pushed on or elevated noises and clanging and banging and things of that nature. But they need to have some type of compassion shown to them. I believe part of being a shepherd is to be watchful and diligent. Do you know what it means to really be watchful? I think of parents of real young children, and it seems like there are some that are not as watchful as they should be. And especially going into places where there's a lot of people maybe mingling and moving around, it's almost like the children are just kind of turned loose. Well, I'm going to tell you, that could be dangerous in our society today, couldn't it? To be diligent as a parent means that your children are in, a lot of times, in your line of sight. I can see them. Maybe there are situations where you're crossing the street or going through a crowded area and you say, okay, I want you to hold my hand while we're going through here. Or maybe if there's more than one child, you have to say, I want all of you to have your hand on the shopping cart. I want all of you, you know, if there's three or four children, I want every one of you to have one hand on the shopping cart. That's being watchful. That's being careful and diligent. And sheep, they tend to bed down and sleep at night, just like we would as humanity. But shepherds, I believe there was more than one out there, and one of the reasons there was more than one is because somebody had to be awake all night. Somebody had to be diligent. I think of the many times that mothers, most generally, are the ones that get up in the night. And there was times in my life that I never knew that whether my wife was up once or six times during the night. It's just because she was attentive and watchful, and her rest could be easily put on hold by a little whimper, a little sound that didn't sound right. It might have been a little cough. It might have been a little congestion. It might have been a little something, a little noise in the night, and she went to check on them. These shepherds had some of those characteristics. They were diligent. They were watchful. This is what it means. A shepherd is not a carefree, reckless person. I'm getting to something this morning. Bear with us. To have these type of qualities as a shepherd and demonstrate them on a daily basis takes a very strong character, day in, day out. Seeing to the needs of the sheep, making sure that they're okay during the night, making sure they're not straying during the day, making sure that there's food, there's water. They had to have an uncompromising level of integrity. We're here to see that the sheep are well taken care of. They're... discipline was beyond the ordinary. You know, I can stop in my work on my job, and unless somebody else comes by and does something to it, it'll be exactly the way I left it when I go back tomorrow. I can leave my tools out. I can leave my parts wherever unless somebody comes along and rearranges stuff for me, it'll be right there. But you know, taking care of sheep is not like that. If I step away for a few minutes and come back, the sheep are different. They're in a different position. Have you ever went out and tried to count black cows in the dark? This time of year, when I get home of an evening, it's dark. And to go out and try to count all my calves and make sure that they're there sometimes is a challenge. Because you know what the calves do, especially when you go out amongst them and you start to try to count them, they get up and move around. And sometimes I feel like I'm out there on my little side-by-side going around and around those cows. Did I count that one twice? Or did I miss one, you know? And it's so easy to, you really have to focus. And that's the way a shepherd was. The shepherd was constantly, that responsibility, that level of intense focus was a, not just a once a week thing, but it was constant to be a shepherd. These men were hardened by weather, by danger, and by weariness. I think these fellows, their faces looked like they'd been out in the wind, in the sun. I think their hands were weathered. I think they knew what it meant to face some difficult situations. Right in the dark, you know, and notice one of the verses here. It says in verse 9, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them." Let's back up one. Verse 8, it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." I don't think this was dusk. I think it was night. I think it was dark. There might have been some stars out. It might have been clear. There might have been a moon shining, and it might have been overcast. It was dark. And lo, it says, the angel of the Lord came upon them. When did he come upon them? In the dark. Were they asleep? Might have been some of them, but they weren't all asleep. And they came upon the dark, came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. Now, I don't know what you thought about a shepherd before, but I'm wanting us to start to think about a shepherd being someone that's not easily afraid. They've been used to dealing with dangers in the dark for a long time. When does the predators come? In the dark. You know, the wolves and the lions, they don't work 9 to 5 in the daytime. They come out, they sleep somewheres in the day, most generally. They're holed up in their dens. They're doing something besides hunting. But when they go hunting, is in the dark. Their eyes are designed to be able to see in very low light situations. And they eat meat. They're predators. Thieves. When does a thief work? At night, most likely. The most likely time for a thief to be able to come and be able to overpower the shepherds and take the flock or take some of the flock would be during the night. The sheep are all gathered up. It'd be easier, not easy, but easier to overpower the shepherds and to steal the whole flock at night than it would be at day, wouldn't it? The shepherds were used to contending with the possibility of thieves coming, of predators coming. It might have been. David, we know, said he slew a lion and a bear. Reckon when he's done that. 8:30 in the morning, 3 in the afternoon? Probably not. It was probably in the night. It was probably just about dusk or just about dawn when the predator came, and David had to contend with that. Was he out there by himself? I don't know, but if he was, that was a highly responsible situation. So the shepherds are hardened by the weather. They're hardened by danger. They're hardened by this overwhelming sense of responsibility. And there's storms and weather. Maybe they could get some snow there in the higher elevations in the winter. Maybe a thunderstorm. I don't know if they have thunderstorms there like they do in southwest Missouri, but it could have been lightning that struck the ground. What do you think sheep would do if lightning struck close by? I'm thinking they would run. I'm thinking that it would be a chaos in the sheepfold. And the shepherds were used to dealing with all of that, and yet it said when the angel come, they were sore afraid. This presence was something they weren't ready for. This is something that they had not been prepared to handle. They had been prepared to handle a lot of difficulties. And I believe the shepherd, to be a shepherd, requires the individual to be very attentive in looking over the flock and the sheep. Weather some storms. Be on the lookout for thieves and predators. And be on the lookout for weather patterns. You know, we have an old saying that says, red at night, sailor's delight. Red in the morning, sailor's mourning. Warning. Well, I believe that they had used generational observations to begin to prepare for weather that could affect the sheepfold. I believe they were in tune with whether the sheep were restless, whether they were concerned about something or not. And yet, when the angel came, it took them off guard. They were startled. It says they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I don't know what they knew about Old Testament prophecy. Were they illiterate? Probably. Had they heard the story? Had they ever been told about the prophecy of the Messiah? Had it been passed down from when they were a little child in the home? Did they have a hope of the Messiah coming? Can you imagine in that age of time of feeling the oppression of the Romans and maybe others, feeling that they were not acceptable or approved, and yet having that hope that someday the Messiah is going to come. Someday a Savior is going to be born. And here they were taken off guard. An angel came and he began to tell them what they would find. And he said in verse 12, and it shall be a sign unto you. If you go and look, he said, you'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them and into heaven, the light dimmed back down, went back to being dark, went back to their normal, being out there with the sheep. The shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. I want us to get a hold of something here that I believe is a fact, although it may be somewhat obscure. This phrase that says, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem," was a major announcement. This was a major shift, because it's not like we ain't doing nothing anyway. We might as well go to Bethlehem. Their hands were full. This was a highly responsible situation. Did they all go, or did just a few of them go and the rest of them stay with the sheep? I don't know. But I just got it in my head that they all went. And they trusted that God would take care of their sheep while they were gone. I don't know. I've got that in my head. Maybe I'm wrong. But for the sake of the discussion, would you let me consider that? That they all went. You know what it meant for all of them to go? It meant that something more important had come along. You know, the most important thing for them to do was to constantly be aware of what was impacting the sheep. That's what their daily routine was, day and night, to be aware. And now something come along that was more important than that. And they were willing to say to one another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem." I don't know. Was it a 5-mile walk? I'm going to say probably. Might have been longer. Might have been a little bit shorter, but let's say 5 miles. How long would it take them to get there? By the time they got there and come back, it was daylight. I know it was. May have been midday by the time they got back. "Let us go and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." So the perspective of the shepherd was simply this. They were not creatures that were derelict of duty. They were not men of low responsibility. They were not someone that it was typical for them to be slothful or lazy or something like that. But they were people that were a high level of, they were on a high alert all the time. They were very diligent. And they were not fearful men. They were, even though they had to display a lot of tenderness, a lot of kindness, a compassion towards the sheep, they were prepared for whatever nature and wicked men could hand out. They were prepared for that. These weren't novices out there with the sheep. These men were aware that they could be in danger themselves, and there could be something that could endanger their flock. But yet, this is their perspective. There was something that came along that superseded all of that, to the point that they were willing to say, "Let's go to Bethlehem and let's see what there is to see." So they went. And they got there and they found the baby lying in a manger. It says in verse 16, "And they came with haste." I believe that they, I don't know that they were running, but I believe they were going with purpose. And when you have a destination in mind and you're going with purpose, I believe they were making every step count. They might have been talking, they may have been discussing, they may have been wondering exactly where they would go when they got to the village. And they may have said, "I believe it's about got to be in old Jacob's stable, right there by the inn. I don't know what the name was, but I know about where this is. It just about has to be there. And I believe they were motivating one another. It says they came with haste. They found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. So I believe they told not only Mary and Joseph their experience out there on the hillside while they were watching the sheep, but they also shared that with other people. Maybe people in town. Maybe it was about daylight by this time. And maybe there were people that were starting to get up and stir. Maybe there were others coming into the stable and picking up their livestock, and they were fixing to travel a little bit. Or I don't know. Maybe they were coming into the stable to do their chores. Maybe it was people that lived, that were staying in the inn, and they come down to take care of their animal for the day, for the morning. I don't know what all was going on, but they began to repeat over and over what they had heard. And it says, and all they that heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. So they got quite a stir going on there in Bethlehem. It says, I believe that when they went back, what better people to tell the news to than the shepherds, because they probably didn't stay in exactly the same place any two nights in a row. They were more likely to come in contact with other people than the folks that lived in the village. And they were traveling all over the countryside, and they were had opportunity to meet people. I believe wherever they went, not only were they the first eyewitnesses, I believe they were the first evangelists. They were taking the word to others. This is a perspective, I believe, of the shepherds. They took the word, took the message to others around. There's a Savior that's been born. We got the message directly from the angel. It caused us to adjust our priorities to the point that we left our sheep and we went into that stable. We saw him there. I don't know if there was some pictures depict Jesus in the manger and a little glow around him. I don't know if it was that way or not. It may have just looked like a normal little child. But there was something that witnessed to them that this was the Son of God. There was a presence, I believe, of the Holy Spirit there. And these men were changed enough that it says, and they, when they had seen it, they made known abroad, everywhere they went, I believe, the saying that was told them concerning this child. It's a Savior that's been born. And I want to think about us today. I want for us to have, because of Jesus coming, because of the season that we are endeavoring to honor, I want us to have the perspective of the shepherds. You got anything you could have been doing this morning? I do. I got some things that I think is pretty important I could have been doing this morning. The grandchildren was there yesterday, and you know, if you got trees in your yard, this time of year is a good time, well, about any time, but this time of year is a good time to find limbs fell down in the yard. So they like to drive my little mule around, my little UTV. So we're out in the yard and might as well pick up a few limbs. We picked up a few limbs, and the more limbs I picked up, the more limbs I saw that needed to be picked up in my yard. And just for one thing, I could stay home. I could have stayed home this morning and picked up limbs in my yard. I've got leaves that need to be taken care of, should be taken care of, ought to take care of. I don't know what the right term is, but there's all kinds of things that we could do. We don't have to sit there and think, I wonder what I'm going to do today. The shepherds weren't that kind of men. They weren't wondering, well, I wonder what I'm going to do tonight. I guess I'll just stay awake and look at the stars. No, they had to take a shift of rotating. We got to make sure that there's no predator, there's no thieves, there's no weather pattern, there's nothing that's going to harm the sheep. They were diligent in what they were doing, and yet when the message that Christ came, they were willing to adjust that. So my message to us this morning is that we ought to have the perspective of the shepherds. Some of us have been kind of weathered. Some of us has had some knocks and some bruises. We've had some things that's taught us some hard lessons, and with things that we need to be aware of, the enemy would like to come in and overpower our soul, every one of us. He'd like to steal from us. He'd like to cause some weather that would distress us. It may be our families. He would like to cause us and those that we are watching over, he would like for them to come into harm's way. And we've kind of got weathered. We've got some marks on us from life. And yet, when it comes time to worship the Lord, may we all be ready to say, let us go. Let us now go, even to Bethlehem. Let us go and worship the Lord. Let's join our voices in with others. I want to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. I want to move the needle a little bit further along. I want to push the cause a little bit towards the goal. I don't want to miss out. I don't want to be found faithless. I don't want to not respond. I mean, what would happen if the shepherds had not have went to Bethlehem? They could have told maybe what their experience was with the angel, but they wouldn't have been able to clinch it with saying, we went, we laid our eyes on the child, we were there, we witnessed the presence. There was a spirit of God in that little stable there that night. I know that's what it was. I wonder how many times they told that story. And for 30 years or so, they told the story. Until Jesus began his ministry. Began to really change hearts and lives. I wonder how many times over the years they told themselves and reminded themselves, you remember that night? That we went to Bethlehem in the middle of the night. You remember that? I trust every one of us here this morning is willing to lay aside the busyness, the responsibilities, and the things that really need our attention to worship the Lord and to recognize that He is there for us today. I desire your prayers. I want to have the perspective of a shepherd. I want to be diligent. I want to have the law of kindness in my tongue and in my actions. I want to be watchful. I want to be in a place that I should be for the Lord, for my family, for those that I should answer for. But when the Lord comes along, I want to be able to let that supersede anything else in my life. You pray for me that I'll be faithful.